Okay.
Welcome
to the
book.
Huh?
Did you get the book?
I did.
Okay.
Not only did I get the book, I read the book.
Oh, cool.
We're talking with Laurie Holmes. The book is called Porn King, the autobiography of John C. Holmes by John Holmes, with Laurie Holmes and Fred Baston. It's a fascinating story.
Yeah.
Of a fascinating life, not always all good. You know, it's interesting. Let's just start off by mentioning, because one of the movies that came out a little while ago was purportedly based a lot on John, Boogie Nights. How much reality was in that movie?
I call the movie Bogus Nights, but that's just my opinion.
So you don't think there's any frame of reference at all?
No, I really don't.
Did they consult you at all when they did that movie?
Not at all.
No.
Which right there, you know, that says a lot.
Exactly. Now, when did you meet John?
I met John back in 1983, or actually the end of 82, when he had first been released, you know, for the Laurel Canyon thing.
Uh-huh. And now you'd known his background pretty much?
Well, I'd seen the media, you know. I'd watched the court stuff on TV, and I really didn't know him. I'd never met him.
Yeah.
But I was in awe when I did.
Now, what kind of background did you come from? What did you take into this?
How was I raised?
Yeah. Well, I mean, what were you doing at the time that you met him?
Oh, I was a porn girl here in the San Fernando Valley here in California.
All right.
And I actually met him in San Francisco. I had gone up, first time I'd ever been to San Francisco. Thinking I was all but 18.
Now, what was the first thing you noticed about John, the first thing that attracted you to him?
He was just mesmerizing. He could really just, I mean, there was just something magic about him. I don't know. Very, very charismatic.
Yeah. Now, when you met him for the first time, were you in a movie with him?
Yes, I was.
Uh-huh. So when he took his clothes off, you already knew what to expect?
Yeah.
And were you at all awed by his body? It didn't make a difference?
Believe it or not.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, I was more in awe with the man than not what the man had.
Yeah.
I know that sounds really strange, but like I said, he was very charismatic.
Well, I mean, there are lots of, let's say, big guys out there.
Right.
And if you're doing porno films, I'm sure that you've probably met some of them.
Oh, yeah.
But he was more than that.
He was more than that. A definite icon in the business, you know, a definite pillar, if you will, for the foundation of this business. There was just something magical about him, and it shows in his films, you know.
Now, the interesting thing here is the book itself. He wrote this. Now, when did he write all this?
He was writing this a few years before he died, and I mean, I finished it and published it.
Because it's really cool.
I didn't publish it for 10 years after he died, but there were reasons behind that, so.
I mean, there are things like, for instance, the UCLA thing where he's talking about when he was an art model.
Mm-hmm.
And there's kind of an innocence about him in certain things here.
Yeah, he was a country boy at heart. He really, I mean, he was from Ohio, you know, from the backwoods, and had grown up in poverty and you know, learned to fend for himself. But he was really just a country boy at heart. I mean, his favorite thing was to be outside. Didn't matter where. Didn't matter if it was on the ocean or at a lake or in the mountains. Anywhere where it was open.
I see in the book, reading it, when he met Joy, Billy, and Ronnie, seemed to be the turning point in his life.
Right.
And not a turning point in a good way.
No.
No.
No. Well, you know, those kind of people can really just suck you under, you know.
Yeah.
Saturate you with negativity.
Well, I mean, he got so involved in the drugs and hanging out with these people who were really nasty, nasty people.
Yeah.
Who are the underside of society that, you know, eventually what is nasty actually poses as being normal. You know?
Well, not really. I mean, there are drug addicts and there are drug addicts.
Yeah.
You know.
But, I mean, even if you're reading his book,
I'd have to say they were the worst of drug addicts that you could ever possibly run across, you know.
I mean, he talks about that enforcer guy who uses an iron on people.
Oh, yeah.
And all these different things that just shocked me. But eventually, to him, he wasn't shocked anymore.
No.
And that's what I'm
No.
talking about. You become
And maybe that's
desensitized.
part of why he liked to be outside, because he could forget about all of that if nothing was around, you know.
Yeah. Well, you become desensitized to a lot of these things when you're around it like that.
Yeah, but at the same time, you become desensitized, you'd rather not be around it.
Yeah. Now, he became a huge legend in adult films. I mean, there was nobody bigger than Johnny Wadd, Johnny Holmes, in any of these films.
Right.
How did he handle the success in the films, and did he was he at all like the character in Boogie Nights, and that had a real huge ego and was very demanding? Did
well,
he get
he
like
did
that?
Have a huge ego, and at
yeah.
times he could be very demanding, but he was not I don't think they represented him right at all, because he wasn't, at the same time where he did have an innocence about him, he wasn't this giddy little kid. He was very, very intelligent and very masculine and very worldly, you know. He could hold it. Now, it may not have been all the truth what he was saying in a conversation, but he could hold a conversation with the best and the most intelligent, you know. he could fake his way through it at the very least, you know. You'd never know, and you at the end of the conversation, even if he really didn't know what he was talking about, boy, you would just think this guy was, you know. He had a knack about him. But surprisingly enough, not really surprisingly, but his films are selling more now than they did back then. You know, I have the official John Holmes website at www.johnnywadd.com,
mm-hmm.
and that's doing remarkably well. And there's a lot of people that are just still interested in, you know, John Holmes. Because he was this pillar, and he was this icon, this piece of history, if you will.
Yeah, I'm looking through the book here and looking at the pictures of you when you were Misty Dawn.
Right.
In the 80s. Beautiful, beautiful woman as you are now. When you got married to John in 87, was there any hint that he was sick at that time?
Yeah, we knew he was sick at that time.
You did?
We'd been together the whole time, and I had nursed him, basically, up until he went into the hospital, about 5 or 6 months before he died. So it was a rough job for me, because all of a sudden he had always taken care of me, and all of a sudden I was taking care of him, and in a physical way as well as a financial way, so.
Yeah.
It was a little difficult.
I would assume that it really was. Now, what about in terms of your own health? Were you at all compromised?
No, I never got it, and to this day, I still don't have it.
Now, I know you're doing this, obviously this book is a lot of fun, the johnnywadd.com website.
Right.
Have you acted at all in films since all this time?
I swore I never would, but, you know, never say never. I came back to California at the first of last year, and I re-entered into the business. And I did it, you know, a few films, a few other things. I recently retired again.
What now? Was it at all enjoyable this time around, or was it?
It was actually more enjoyable.
Really?
This time around, I mean, I'm more mature, obviously. enjoy sex a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Take it for what it is, so to speak. I actually enjoyed it more this time around.
Are you involved with anybody right now?
I am involved with another porn actor, Tony Montana.
Oh.
And we recently had news that he came down HIV positive.
Oh, boy.
And so, but I continue to stay negative, and for some reason, we practice safe sex.
Why is it, first of all, do you know where Johnny came up with this, or where your current beau got
it? I really don't. And, you know, when he died, of course, I was very angry because there were all these rumors, you know, oh, he was a needle junkie, this, that, he was gay, this, that. John hated needles, you know.
Mm-hmm.
and was very much the ladies' man, and although he had done a few gay movies in his career, it really wasn't his choice, you know. I mean, it really wasn't his liking. He did it for the money, and it wasn't his pleasure, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Had nothing against it. It just wasn't for him.
Mm.
So, no, I mean, we really don't. We've tried to pinpoint it, but it's one of those things, just like with Tony now, you know, we've tried to pinpoint it and have not been able to. And, you know, now we have more of a database than we had back then, too, so.
Let me ask you, from a woman's point of view, when you're doing some of these films and when you came back again, did you ever in the back of your mind compare the men you were with to Johnny?
No. Everybody's different.
Hmm. Not even in
everybody's an individual and everybody's different.
Not even in the far recesses of your mind, huh?
No.
Hmm.
No, and guys always ask me, people always ask me, well, does size really matter? And it really doesn't. You know? It really doesn't. It's the man, not the tool.
That's what they say. I think that was started by a 3-inch guy.
Well, I don't know. I'd have to back it up.
I don't know. I think that if a guy with a big tool knows how to use it, he's got the advantages.
A woman with a 3-inch tool and a woman with a 14-inch tool.
Mm.
She can get herself off with the 3-inch tool just as much as she can with the 14-inch one if she knows what she's doing.
That's true. That's true.
So think about it like that.
Mm. I guess that's absolutely true. Yeah. What do you think of the industry itself, the adult film industry?
It's an industry that I believe in very much. It's an industry that it's grown. I mean, it's grown in more ways than one. You know, we have such programs as AIM now, you know, Adult Industry Medical, and the AIDS testing, and which AIM also does, you know, drug counseling and sexual counseling and all kinds of things. So in that aspect, I mean, it's really blossomed and turned into something, you know, really that John would be proud of.
Mm.
I mean, there's still the schmucks, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, you know, there'll always be schmucks. There'll always be people that don't have honor anywhere in any business, you know.
Well, I think it's one of the great things is, you know, the woman type of thing. Like, we just had on one of the folks who does soft bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these other women who are doing kind of like films with love involved and a little bit more than just down and out raw sex to appeal to a wider audience, you know?
Right.
And
have expanded to a wider audience. I mean, and some of the stuff that they do these days, I don't exactly, it's not for me, you know?
Yeah.
They've really, some of the stuff has really gotten out there and maybe a little too out there, but who am I to say that, you know, somebody else can't watch that either.
Which kind of stuff is you objective
oh,
to?
Oh, they just got, I mean, it's gotten really nasty. Nastier than, I mean, it makes some of the stuff I used to do look very tame, you know.
But what do you consider nasty?
Well, I mean, they've gotten into the piss thing and the,
oh, yeah.
and the you know, defecation mm. even in the, mm. in Europe and just, you know.
Yeah.
A little more than I would do.
But you look at, you've got Penthouse Magazine, and Bob Guccione's got people peeing in the magazine now.
Right.
It's
become a little raunchy, but then again, you know, that's freedom of speech. Yeah, you know, I don't like it, so I don't look at it, but that doesn't mean it shouldn't be there, you know.
Hmm. For people out there who are tuning in just to check and see about Johnny Watt and find out what he's really like, what should they know about him that they probably don't?
He was just one terrific, very unique guy.
Hmm.
And that there was more to him than his penis.
In 20 years, he did about 2,200 films, right?
Right.
Must have been a very tired penis.
Well, he did get around. He did get around, but that was his life.
Yeah.
You know, and when he took ill with HIV, that was the end.
Yeah.
You know, people, he didn't really die in 88. He, you know, he died in 86, you know, when
right.
he found out he could never have sex again. And back then, that was what we thought. You know, of course, now, you know.
With proper protection, you don't have to do that.
Right.
Right. It's an unbelievable story. It's a sad story.
Yeah.
And but, you know, people can learn from it. People can get to know him. He was a nice guy. Mm-hmm. And maybe people will find out now when they read the Porn King book. And
right,
you can,
and they
can get,
order that on the site.
That's johnnywadd.com.
With two D's.
Right, and two N's.
Right.
And that's available on the internet.
Right.
And also there's many other things in there. There's some films and things like that that are available as well.
Many pictures, and I do have a store and everything else. So.
Well, I want to wish you a lot of luck, Laurie.
Thank you very much.
And, you know, keep in touch. If you have a new film coming out or something, we'd love to know about it.
Okay.
And take care of yourself.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Laurie Holmes.